Okay, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Between the Frames podcast.
Hey,
we're back again. What's up, everyone?
Favorite time of the week.
Yep, better be. Are we doing like one a week?
Yeah.
Let's try to do one a week. It's a good aim. Yeah. I think that's a good sort of thing we should aim for. Yeah.
Sex. Good topic.
What are we talking about?
What's something that rhymes with sex?
Vex.
Rex. Rex. UK. Like.
Oh, WRX.
Rectum? WRRectum?
Anyway, what are we talking about today, Lamont?
So basically, well, first of all, we're on a whole bunch of different platforms. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Alexa, Google Podcasts, whole bunch of random different things. You can also check us out on YouTube as well for people who are watching this. And so today's topic, I think this will be an interesting, will be the business side of art. So obviously...
I'm joking. Yeah. This will be really interesting for me because I'm not...
Yeah, so obviously...
Hayden's like...
like numbers.
It's a kettle.
Numbers?
No!
But basically it's the idea of bringing numbers into what we do.
Into art,
because that's technically what we do. We create videos, we take photos, do all that sort of stuff. So trying to create a business or trying to have a flow of income to what we do, because that's something that a lot of people will eventually have to end up doing if they're going into the creative industry. So it's a lot, and I assume a lot of people will find it hard to actually make some money as a creator or anything. And we've got two very different sides of it as well. You've got Hayden and myself, who don't really make much money off of creative work, and you've got you two, who obviously
sell products
and do a lot more stuff.
I'm interested to know, like, how do you find it, Lamont? Like, obviously you're a smaller creator. You don't like, we're full time and you don't create content as much as us. How do you find how do you make money?
And maybe before as well, explain why you don't create as much content. Maybe
First of all, the thing is, technically, creating content for me is meant to be the second priority, because I do go to uni, so I do study. Obviously,
you study engineering.
I study engineering, by the way. If guys didn't know, automotive engineering. Mark and I, we both love cars ever since we were young, so that's why I do automotive engineering. And so, obviously, since you're a uni student, it's hard for you to actually take too much time out of that and to really, you know, go out and take photos, do all sorts of stuff,
especially
create videos.
YouTube takes so much time.
It's a full-time commitment. YouTube is intense.
Definitely.
And to me, like, obviously at this point in time, I've actually taken a break from uni. So I've taken a semester off to focus more on creative work and see how I do in this industry. But at the end of the day, I still have to go back to uni. So hence why I'm sort of just like sort of relaxing and just taking a step back. You know, I've been, you know, doing school for 13 years of my life. Yeah. I think I could have a bit of a break and just sort of relax and create content with my friends.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so that's sort of my approach to it. And obviously, you know, I do have to make a bit of money as well, because I've got to pay for food and whatnot here and there. And it doesn't help that I've spent all my money on traveling.
Bloody bubble tea as well.
And ramen.
Yeah. And yeah, a lot of bubble tea.
I see on the stories always ramen.
Yeah.
Every day.
You didn't want to work like a traditional job.
I don't really want to work a traditional job or like, but some parts of engineering are still interesting to me in terms of like, I wouldn't actually mind a job in like a good engineering field, like a field that I like, for example, like design, like using 3D software to design parts and stuff for cars will be a cool pathway I can think of in the future for me.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm still just riding the wave, having fun with it, and don't take everything too seriously.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my approach. But obviously you three are very different, because you guys are actually full-time creators. That's what you do for a living.
How do you feel when, like, with like what you do, like how you're taking a break and everything? Like, you see like Mike and Liam and myself, we're like, we churn out content left, right and center. How do you ever feel like guilty?
Oh yeah, of course. I always feel like, what the fuck am I doing? It's like, I should be pushing out content. It's like, especially during this break as well, because technically I don't have any excuses. But it's more of that. It's very, very different. It's really weird to do.
In the back of your mind, there's always, I got to go back to uni.
That is a constant reminder as well, which is annoying. But it's just this whole concept to me is still very foreign. Like, yeah, you can, you know, you have to go out and just do. But some parts you just like, you're looking at it and you're like, ah, it's just like not working out. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what the fuck's happening. So, and in a sense,
stops you from creating.
Not necessarily, because I still like have other projects on the side, if that makes sense. So if I'm like working on something, I'm like, I can always come back to it. I can work on something else as well. And I think that's been pretty helpful for me to do.
And you like I'm to break your that. Stuff up.
It's sort of what I've been doing. I've realized.
Yeah.
I sort of like split my attention focus. I realized as well that it's probably not the best way of doing it. Maybe have only one or two things that you really focus on. Not technically branch out, but actually stick to those one or two things and commit to them properly. Yeah.
Because it's so easy to just stop doing something because you just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
That's what most people do.
Go ahead, real quick. If you can, try and speak directly into the mic.
Yeah, yeah. Am I speaking? Yeah, because I don't have
Yeah, yeah. Thing. That's right. Just speak
like really close to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sorry. How's
yeah.
that?
Yeah, yeah. That's much better. Yeah.
Even closer, yeah. Just like right in front of it.
Just remember this front diaphragm here. You have to speak into it. You can't really... towards the side.
I can't speak like this.
Yeah, it's okay. That's a bit difficult.
Still
getting
this podcast thing sorted.
Yeah,
yeah.
So but yeah.
Give us a break.
Yeah, remember to like if you do want to talk to me, just like move the microphone around.
All right, cool. Yeah. Got to grasp it. Like it's girthy.
Have a firm it's hold
black as well. Any looking at
big
way.
Black and it's dumb thick. Anyway, what was I gonna? I was gonna say something. Yeah, no. A lot of people do tend to like stop doing the thing that they want to be doing just because things get hard.
Yeah.
As soon as I said that, that sounded...
You made direct eye contact with me when you said that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, things get...
Things
have you seen that meme? Like, you know, at the end of Harry Potter, like the final Harry Potter, where they're going into like the station and like Harry Potter dies and it's like... I was going to say Gandalf, but it's bloody...
bloody spoiler alert.
Dumbledore.
Harry Potter dies.
Dumbledore.
Yeah, Dumbledore.
Yeah, yeah.
And Harry Potter, they're there. And like Dumbledore says, like, Harry, sometime you're going to have to choose between what's hard and what's easy. And he looks at him. He's like, I'm both right now.
What?
Dumbledore looks at Harry and says, it's obviously a meme. That's it's not so like what they actually say in the movie.
Imagine that.
Thanks for the laugh, Liam. That. Anyway, back to the conversation.
No. I was laughing in my head because I was like trying to... wrap my head out.
What does that look like, laughing in your head? Like
it would have been exactly physically what Liam did, but just in my mind, I was doing it, but I didn't physically do it.
Right, okay.
So I would have leant back and done the whole...
Yeah.
But I just you're didn't like, physically do it.
No, that's all right.
Did you guys see quickly that banana that sold? Cause like,
yes, I saw that.
You just brought up art and business, right? And when I think of art, I think of galleries and just random shit like scribbles and stuff. And okay, so there was this art piece that sold for $175,000 and it was a real banana duct taped to a painting or something. Or
duct taped to like canvas or like a wall or
a
something?
A blank wall. It was a banana, like a... full on banana you eat.
Yeah.
It would have browned and blacked off.
Yeah, and the best part about it,
some guy came in and he ripped it off and ate it.
Yeah.
But how was it sold?
Obviously, it probably got sold.
Yeah, it got sold, obviously.
Sold to the actual museum or place that's showing it.
So a random guy went up to the banana and just went, oh.
Yeah. 175K.
Yeah, he ate the banana. So technically he has $175,000 banana.
Did he go to jail or anything?
I don't know. Dude, this is only really recent.
Imagine that. What are you in for? I ate a
nani.
It's even an Australian ad. Like, you know how like they advertise here in Australia, like eat your bananas?
Yeah.
This guy's all right. Fucking oath, I'll eat a banana.
Yeah, he goes to jail
for it. What do you reckon the sound effect was when he ate the banana? It was like, was it arsh?
Arsh.
Was it more of an arsh or is it op?
Okay.
Definitely an arsh.
It was an art thing. Like it was a gallery in Miami. And
that's all.
Yeah, it was a...
That is awful.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Dude, yeah, I don't... When I think
it's sold for 120,000 US, 175 Australian.
Yeah, 170 Australian dollars. Wow.
And the guy just ripped it off and ate it.
That's so silly.
This is what they have to say. He removed the banana from the wall and then proceeded to eat it.
Wow.
Oh my God.
No shit. You don't have to...
I just picture a monkey or a gorilla going up to it, just grabbing it, and that's it.
Yum.
Anyway,
well, yeah, going back, to being a creator and making money, right? How do you make money? Because obviously, once you have an audience, it's a lot easier to make money because you can either sell them a product, sell merch. But when you're a smaller creator and you want to be a bigger creator, so you can have that audience, what do you guys think is a good way to make money? Just like you're starting out, for example, you're 500 followers, you don't really have a portfolio.
It depends what's a good on way? What they want to do. Like,
if they say,
that's true, yeah.
Yeah, well, an example, say they want to do like stuff like we do, like photography.
Okay. Well, for me, when I started out, I was into event photography. I did event photography so I could get paid to party. It wasn't even for photography. Yeah. But the idea still stands that photographers can make money just by going to parties and taking photos. All they need is a camera and a flash, and it's the easiest kind of photography. Yeah. Like, it's so easy. Like, I could teach it to someone in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, and it's the same settings the whole time. What did you do, Mike, to make money? Like, when you're a creator?
Well, obviously, like, we do way more creative stuff now, and then we have a bunch of different brand ambassador links now that we get paid through. We have the presets.
Yeah.
We'll eventually have different streams of income, and plus YouTube that help us sort of stay alive right now.
Yeah.
And then on the, you know, we get the odd freelance job and stuff. Yeah. And now it's a lot easier to sort of sustain myself. But back in the day, obviously, I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go with photography. And I did do a few event jobs and stuff. But it's funny because I only actually realized this the other day when someone came up to me. I was in the shops actually. I was actually getting your socks. Your birthday.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I bought Liam's socks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're wearing them.
Does some that funky stink socks. When you put that up to you? Anyway.
No, they're brand new. Oh,
yeah. You're in the shops?
Anyway, so this kid comes up to me and he goes, oh, hey, like, you know, I love your videos and stuff. And I saw that video where you walked into car dealerships and, you know, offered your service. And I want to go out and do that. I'm a huge Mercedes fan, so I'm going to walk into Mercedes. I'm like, yeah, go get them, bro. Like, honestly, like, if you walk into enough places, eventually someone is going to need photos done, right?
It's inevitable.
And I didn't think, it just came to me like when I was like speaking to him and I was just like trying to amp him up to go do it. And we're just talking about cars. Only then it realized that I actually did that years ago when I got my first job at a car dealership, but I didn't even realize even making the video and stuff, I didn't even realize that.
That's so true.
You've already done that.
Like we literally followed.
Okay, so this is what happened, right? So when I was about 16 years old, Lamont and I, we lived obviously on the Glen Waverley line. And, well, not obviously. We lived on the Glen Waverley line.
Obviously. It's like obvious. Everyone knows.
Everyone knows
where Mike lives.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. We know. The address is here.
Sorry. I have a really bad... Anyway, saying obviously. Anyway, we all have one word that we always say. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So we're taking the train back home and there's this new car dealership that's been set up. But we didn't know it was a car dealership. It looked like a museum because there was all these, you know, Ferraris. There was a Pagani in the window at one point, like super expensive cars in the window. Yeah. And Lamont and I looked at each other like, we have to go here because I've never seen this. It was like literally on the train line. You could see the car dealership. And I was like, I've never seen this here before. It must just be new, a new car museum or something. So like next time we get on the train, I see it's called Dutton Garage or whatever. So we jump online and I call them up and I say, hey, how much is it to enter? Because I thought it was a car museum. They're like, oh, no, we're actually a car dealership. You can come in if you want to. And I was like, oh, is it okay if I just bring my camera and come take some photos? Literally for our own. I've never done car photography before this when I was like 16, but I was just into cars, right? Mm-hmm. The most car photography I've done was, you know, going to car meets or
taking
my mum's car out for photos. That's the most car photography.
Putting up the clarity to 1,000.
Exporting the photo with 100% clarity, then importing it because I wanted more clarity.
Yeah, I'm going to use like a 14mm lens.
We've been there. We've all been there. We all found out about clarity. And then,
Clarity was my life back in the day.
Anyway, so Lamont and I walk in and, you know, we're just amazed by how big the showroom was. And we're just walking around just like in awe of how many cool old Porsches, Ferraris, Lambos, everything. Like all cars that we used to play in video games are just in front of us right now that we've never really experienced in our life. Because especially in the Australian market, that whole supercar scene, it's not really as prominent as it is in America and Europe. So we were like pretty amazed to see all these cars. And this guy comes up to us and he goes, oh, hey guys, like welcome to the dealership. We've just opened up. Turns out he was the general manager. His name was Sean. And he was like, hey, like I saw you guys got some cameras. Like, did you take some photos? And we were like, yeah, we took a few photos. Like, not that we really knew what we were doing. And I was like, do you want them? And he goes, yeah, I actually want to set up like a social media for the company here, because we've just sort of moved from our last place a few streets over. And I was like, oh yeah, I can email him to you or whatever. So he gives me his business card, and then I lose it, right? Oh, I was like, that's no, right? But obviously, it's only like 15. Obviously, it's only 15. Only 15 minutes away from me. So the next day, I edit the photos that night,
yeah.
And then Lamont and I were like freaking out. We're like, I'm gonna walk back in tomorrow with a USB. And we're gonna give him all these photos. So we like tried to edit these.
I remember we were
to
like
the
sitting,
best of our ability.
Yeah. And I remember we were sitting next to each other. We just like editing. Like, oh, these photos are sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like just putting the clarity up to like 100%, 200%. Like, these photos are sick.
I need to find them actually.
So funny.
They're probably pretty trashy now. But anyway, so we go back in the next day, and I bring a USB back in. I'm like, oh hey, like I forgot where I placed your business card, but here's a USB with some photos on. He goes, oh, I actually really like that initiative. Here's my number. Why don't you give me a call in the new year? Because this is like probably about 4 years ago, actually, from today, about around this month, actually. Yeah. This is probably just before I met you, actually.
Wasn't it just after, bro? Pretty sure it was just after. Maybe just before.
No, I think it was. No,
probably 1 week before, bro.
It's
because
at the end
I
of
remember,
year 11. Yeah.
I remember you. Yeah, when I met you, you were just like, yeah, I work at this car dealership, or like, you think you were telling me the story of this,
yeah,
like, as if it just happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, because in the new year, because we weren't too far away from January, I give him a call and I go in for a meeting, and then I get the job. And because Lamont was there with me, they couldn't employ two photographers at the time; they just had the budget for one. And I was like, yeah, that's all right. Like, they gave me the job.
I was like, oh, but I was like, you know, at the same time, I was going into year 12 as well, so I was like, probably better if I focus on my studies more.
Yeah, I literally dropped out. So year 12 was like the year I spent the least effort on out of all my years of schooling. But anyway, and then eventually I got Lamont a job there, and that was actually how I got my first paid work.
Yeah, same
ongoing
as well.
It was stable income, and every single week I'd rock up there on a Wednesday because I didn't have school on Wednesdays, and I'd take like 10 photos for them, and I'd get paid in cash. And then, yeah.
Nah, that's good.
I was off for another week. So that's
just
like
goes
my
to
first
show.
Work. Yeah.
You literally like work is out there, especially, and like that was you when you literally had no portfolio, no experience. Like you just
nothing.
Beginner, pure beginner.
I'd never really even taken car photos
before.
Yeah.
That's why anyone can do it. Like if you're a photographer listening and you've got like, you know, don't look at your subscribers, your followers. You might not even have a YouTube. You probably don't have a YouTube channel. Don't look at your followers. None of that shit matters. All that matters is that you go out.
Yeah.
And just ask people if they need photos, because everyone does need photos at some point.
And dude, at the end of the day, like the more that you put in, the more you'll get out. Like, and that's the same with YouTube, the same with like getting jobs in whatever place. As you said, if you're going up to like different car dealerships and everything like that, the more that you go to these places, you will get rejected probably 90% of the time.
Yeah.
It's the same with anything. It's literally the law of averages. It's like the law of averages just states that inevitably, if you just keep doing something, inevitably one of those things will be successful.
Yeah.
It's the same with like...
Can work the other way as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like if you ride motorbikes.
Exactly, that's
like
the thing.
When are you going to fall off?
Yeah, you just way. Don't know. Like it's inevitable that like something's going to happen. But like it's like with asking a girl out or something. Mm. Like it's like a typical thing. People are really scared to ask girls out because they're scared of getting rejected. Like just... saying it to you right now, you're going to get rejected. Like that's just life. You get rejected.
Yeah.
But if you don't embrace getting rejected, then you're not going to actually have a chance.
Or you're not going to do anything.
You're going to be in the game to play, Mike.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
You gotta put your tokens in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's good to be able to do freelance work, to be able to fund yourself so that you can do your creative thing. Like for example, if you start a YouTube channel, you can't just go, I'm going to quit my job and everything and have zero subs and make no money from it. And then you know, you can't just do that. So I think it's a good idea to do freelance jobs when you're a smaller creator, work up to the point where you can switch and then you can do like whatever you want full time.
I remember Gary Vee saying
quick. Yeah. We'll just turn the cameras off and turn it back on again in terms of recording.
Has it already been half an hour?
Well, no, it's 19 minutes. Okay. It's just like we should probably
just in case.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways.
Gary Vee. So I remember him saying, like, if you're starting out, especially starting out your own business, like doing a freelance, becoming a freelancer or whatever, you just got to eat shit for a little while.
You have to.
Yeah, I remember that actually.
You remember like working like 20-hour days?
Yeah.
Like trying
to. I used to do that a lot.
Yep. Trying to like work full time because I was working full time at my old car dealership. And then I was also trying to pump out YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So I'd finish up with work for the day and edit during my lunch break. from the last video that I filmed a few days ago, try and punch, like push that out. And then that night I'd go home, I'd race home because I didn't have a light set up at that point. So I'd race home like that. I still had natural light.
Yeah.
And then I'd jump in front of the camera like 20 minutes before the sun went down and then cranked my ISO in my room because I didn't have a light yet. I just had like the yucky yellow light in my room.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And then like try and film a video and then edit all through the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then go out and shoot or something to get more content.
I think that's the biggest misconception with like YouTube specifically. Or actually, you know what? It's anything that you want to pursue, whether it's like, say you work a typical job and you're like, oh, I want to do something else, like my passion. People think that it's going to be easy. People go into it like, oh, like this is going to be fun all the time. It's going to be like, I'm always going to be happy, but it's just not realistic.
Dude, that's like the kind of thinking that literally like sets people up for failure.
Yeah.
That's just it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you raise your expectations and then, you know, you wake up one day, you're like, I don't really feel like doing this. And that's like the times when you got to push through.
Yeah.
And like just accept that experience.
But that's like the essence of like, cause all right, so we're reading this book. I tried to get it onto the boys and like, I know you're
I've listened to it.
The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
So good.
One of the first habit is be proactive.
Instead
of reactive. 99% of, 99%, maybe like 90%. I don't know. Just put a number on it.
A lot of people.
Majority of people that you meet in your life are going to be people who are reactive. They're the people that are like blaming stuff on external circumstances, like other people's opinions or their environment, the weather, everything like that, as to why they're feeling a certain way and like the decisions that they make. Whereas proactive people are the people that actually have the awareness that like you can actually make your own decisions coming from inside yourself, not from external things. And I think that that's like, it was like, if you can subordinate a feeling to a value, then that shows true character, which means like essentially like if you make your decisions based on your own internal values that you hold strongly to yourself, then you're going to get like your whole sense of worth from yourself, not from anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You make all your decisions are based on like your values.
Yeah.
And that's, it's as simple as that. You don't have to overthink it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what a massive thing that I learned working full time was that if you had like, you could never go to the boss or anyone with a problem.
Yes.
If you do go to someone with a problem, you have to back it up with a solution on how you're going to fix it. So I think that's a massive thing that I've learned with even doing what we do now. If there's a problem, like even like if I have a problem with, it's never happened to me before, but like if one, what something that you guys do or say or whatever, like when we travel, you know, sometimes we have problems with each other and it's fine, but it's like, don't.
Yeah.
Go on. I have a problem with you doing that. But my solution is for you to stop fucking doing that.
Thanks,
brother.
No, but, like if you come to the table with, instead of like complaining about something and like you said, blaming it on literally everything else except for yourself.
Yeah.
It just comes with a solution, which is most of the time it comes down to, it's probably me sometimes, you know, it's like, I need to actually fix what I'm doing or what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And fix what, like assess yourself before you assess like the situation.
Of course. That you're in. Yeah. Like you, no matter what you do, you can control yourself. I think Adam's just coming in.
Door click in 3. Yeah. Two.
Hey, boy.
Hey, Adam, what's going on?
We're doing a podcast and you ruin our podcast.
That's all right. It's all good.
No, what was I saying? Yeah, no, like if someone says something that offends you or annoys you, it's actually your choice to be annoyed.
Yeah.
Every single time. Like the thing is, now that I've been learning it, like I've been sort of like going through these like withdrawal pains of like, being like, oh, I might get a bit annoyed, but then I'll remind myself, I'm like, wait, I can choose to be annoyed or not. Yeah. I can choose to, like when I'm editing the photo battle, like I'm editing the photo battle today, I'm getting frustrated because I don't have the footage that would be like good for that scene. I'm thinking of the ideal situation, which in that thinking literally makes me feel shitter because I don't have it. It literally reinforces the fact of something that I don't have. So it makes me unhappy.
Yeah.
And so I'm just getting frustrated, but then I'm just like, wait a minute. I don't have it. I can either complain about this.
Just move on.
And just be like, ugh, or you just persevere. Perseverance is one of my values. So I'm going to be like, you know what? Who cares? And acceptance.
Yeah.
That's like, everyone's got different values, but I like to have like acceptance, vulnerability, courage. I don't know, like yeah, I'm still working on
no,
it.
That's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But I think like you wouldn't know that. And I think like for a lot of people, some people don't assess themselves when they get angry or when they become reactive, mm-hmm. right? So obviously you read something or did something for you to change that mindset, because I know I've seen your progression over this year. It's helped all of us grow into like the men that we're becoming now.
Same.
But like I know that, you know, you had to have done something and realized that I need to actually start assessing myself, which is something that I've learned this year massively. It's like I should actually think about what's going on up here with Michael before yeah. I should really say anything or do anything if it makes me upset. Like just like even reading YouTube comments, we all have them.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
some of them, like obviously it's the fucking internet, and specifically it's YouTube and the internet. Like they're not always going to be, you know, happy, positive comments.
No.
But you can choose to get upset at the negative ones, or you can just sort of laugh about it and move on and be like, yeah, well, still making videos.
So. Yeah.
When you guys yeah. started YouTube, were you guys like really, do you feel like you guys were really reactive to negative comments?
Definitely. Of course.
Super despite reactive.
All my hard work. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so reactive. Like I would, because I would really let the positive comments make me feel good.
Mm.
But I like didn't.
Validation.
Yeah. Well,
right.
But I didn't realize that by letting the positive comments make me feel good, that also made me vulnerable to the negative comments and making them make me feel just as bad.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've learned over this year. Like if something's really good, it's going to come down and be really bad. Like life is all about balance.
Yeah.
And like what, if you go on a high, there's always going to be that low that follows.
That's why you can't, so, you actually, as depressing as it sounds, you actually can't let yourself get high. Like, because the more you get high, as in like not,
no, it's in like, I mean? Yeah, like not on drugs.
Get
not
on drugs.
Just like high as
don't
in
do
like
that either. It's not
happy.
Worth it.
Like two. Okay, this does sound fucked. Like trying to say it, like trying to vocalize this. You don't want to get too happy.
Yeah.
Because once you get really, really happy, you can also get really, really sad.
And
actually, you know what? I think it's from getting really happy from external things.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of the main things. Like, it's okay to be happy, but as long as it's coming from yourself, like you're not trying to show off, like be like, yeah, I got all these cool comments. You know what I mean?
But it's like, there's a difference. I think that there's a difference between happiness and contentment. And I think I don't strive for happiness. I strive for contentment, because contentment, you can actually choose at any time. Mm. Even if you feel sick or if you feel crap or whatever, you can literally say to yourself, okay, like, yeah, I feel shit, but like, I'm not going to be happy for feeling shit. Like, it's just not how it is, but you can choose to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at least you can let go of the negative feeling.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, like I am content with this situation. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's like being okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, like you can literally choose how you want to feel.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the biggest life hack. Like that's a real life hack.
Actually,
like,
no.
It takes a lot of practice.
It's not how you feel. It's how you react to how you feel. You actually can't choose how you feel. You can't choose. Like if you feel, okay, no. So let me explain.
Please explain.
Okay, no. So feeling is a byproduct of thoughts. So you can choose, like say if like someone rejects you or something, you can choose to let that affect you. If that affects you, then you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
So you can choose
how you feel.
No, you can't, because like say you're feeling sick. You can't choose to not feel sick.
But what if you're feeling sad?
You can't choose to be happy when you're sad. You're supposed
not choose to be happy. Just choose to be like okay.
Yeah. You can choose to be okay with it, but doesn't mean you're feeling like you feel at peace. Feeling is a byproduct of your decision to how you react to the feelings. So when I say that, say you're feeling sad about something.
Yeah.
You saying that I'm okay with this means that you're fine with it. And that brings a sense of relief. But in order for your feelings to pass, you have to be okay with feeling them. You have to feel them for them to pass. This is what people do. People, like they feel something, but they don't want to feel it. So they resist it and they try and like bury it under like the carpet.
And it's always going to come out.
And you know what? Most of the time it's because of other people's opinions.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Which is most a huge,
of the time. Factors.
Which is a huge problem with like who was like, I can't remember who I was talking to about it, but like vlogging in general, like just pulling a camera up and talking to a camera is not a normal thing to do. very not normal, right?
We'll make it normal, though.
Right? Normal. No, but even normal. Like even at VidCon, like it's not actually a common thing. Not a lot of YouTubers
not,
actually.
Yeah, not even for YouTubers.
Yeah, like I it's know. Not actually a common thing to walk around the streets holding a camera at all.
Yeah.
Like a lot of YouTubers are like this, you have a stage, like set up camera, and then sometimes they're not even talking to it. Most of the time, it's sometimes it's not even their face. We've got a mate who doesn't even, he's anonymous on his channel. He just has his voice.
And his name is,
And his name is, and his channel is,
And he lives at.
And his mom is.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Wouldn't you know, you cheeky little
Well, sorry.
Anyway.
What were you saying?
Anyway.
No, what I was saying is that when you're walking down the street, when we're walking down the street and I got asked, I was like, don't you feel uncomfortable when people are looking at you, when all eyes are on you and you're trying to vlog?
Yeah.
You're trying to, and like, yeah, like obviously I can see in the peripheral, like everybody, every single person I walk past is like, what is he doing? Like, I it's almost like I can hear voices when you walk past. So it's like kind of just like putting up a wall.
What's he doing?
And like, you know those... horses that have like the blink, like the blind,
the eye patch thing, so they can like only see vision. Straight.
They're mirrors, so they can actually see forward instead of to the left and right step.
Yeah,
because their eyes face different directions.
Well, there you go. Well, okay, thanks for the explanation.
Well,
God,
I don't know.
Like, Lamont is God. La God.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Godmon.
Anyway, so that's why it's like obviously over time. I had to let.
Obviously. So
I'm noticing that I'm saying
Dude,
it though.
It's no, fine.
It's fine.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I had to like over time under like what we were saying earlier, I had to understand why I was feeling that way and why I was caring about other people's opinions. And at the end of the day, it's like, we joke about it all the time. It's like, when did you walk past someone and actually to this day still remember what you saw and if you give a fuck about what they're wearing or what they look like or what hat? Like, no one gives a fuck. Like, they look at it, they go like, oh, that's a bit weird. And they just get on with their day because everyone's too caught up in their own shit to actually care about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, and most of the time, they're looking at us because it's like, that's not normal. I don't usually see that, so I'm gonna look at it.
Yeah,
and then that's usually all it is. It's not people going like, stop doing that right now.
Stop being normal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, being normal. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with being normal. I'm not talking shit, mate, about you normal people out there in the audience. But stop being normal. Yeah. I love being weird.
Yeah, I was
man.
Gonna say I love our job. Like, how we get to just express ourselves and like just do whatever we want.
It's pretty cool. Better.
How do you guys feel at a point in YouTube now? Like, when you say like get the camera going and stuff, how do you guys honestly feel when you haven't like when you turn on the camera? Like, are you nervous? Like,
no, I don't overthink it anymore at all.
Like you don't ever get nervous anymore.
I have my days, definitely. Like, I'm a human being at the end of the day. Like, some days I feel more anxious than others, but for the most part, like, it depends. Like, it actually depends on a lot of things. Like, what have I been eating? Have I been exercising? Have I been getting enough sleep? Have I been inspired? Have I been around you boys and stuff? If none of those boxes are ticked, I'm gonna feel like shit. But it doesn't mean I can't record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
My anxiety levels would definitely go up. And this is the thing I was talking about earlier, was that like trying to understand like what's going on with Michael or what's going on with you when you feel a certain way. I like to analyze it now. And why do I feel this way? And sort of break it down. Mm. And it helps sort of bring me back down to ground zero again instead of trying to inflate everything and start, you know, sort of getting too anxious or something about something. And not that I've really ever suffered with anxiety or anything, but my sort of mental state I've never really looked into. Growing up, I haven't really been grown up about it. Like, my parents haven't really talked to me about that. I haven't really been taught that. And as a guy, you're immediately, you know, thrown into like, oh, you know, don't cry, you know, be a man and all that kind of shit. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
contracts.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like actually trying to, now this year is the first year I've ever actually looked into my mental state.
Good.
And real, like, and that's just from hanging out with you and then realizing myself like, oh, I need to actually take this more seriously. And everything outside of Michael and what's going on in here, it doesn't actually really matter.
Yeah.
It's just, I got to figure it out with myself. But definitely. There's definitely days where I feel that like I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I can't say any words right. I can't even finish a sentence.
What do you do in those moments? Like, when
I just
you're
come
like,
back
when
to
you're
it.
Like, oh man, like I'm not talking. Like, I'm not being like in the flow. I'm being all uptight. Like, what do you do in those moments?
So it depends like what exactly I'm trying to achieve. If like I'm trying to edit, and like I can't concentrate and I can't focus, I'll just go do whatever I'm distracted by because I'm going to go do it anyway because that's what I'm thinking about. So I'll just go do it. I'm serious. And then really? I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. So if I'm sitting there and I'm like, I really want to play Xbox right now, I'll turn around and go play Xbox for 5-10 minutes.
Really?
And then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm bored now. And then I can get back to it. And then it literally just, yeah, takes it out of me. It depends on what I'm getting distracted by. Sometimes I'll rip out my cord. Or the
you're going to say, I'll rip out my cord. Wow. Yep.
Go. Be dangerous, dangerous. Yeah. Family friendly between the frames.
Yeah, family friendly frames. Yeah, go.
Sometimes, like, I'll take, and this is really funny. Like, like where my TV stand is or whatever, and then I've got like this sort of wood backing, and the HDMI to put into my Xbox is so unbelievably annoying to put in because you can't really get back there because it's too heavy to move everything, and it can't see as well what you're putting it into. So you're kind of like stabbing until you get the HDMI cord in, right?
You actually have to get two people to help usually do this. You have to have someone to hold the Xbox
because if you're stabbing around, you just push it out of the shelf.
So you have to get one person pushing the Xbox itself and then one person actually inserting the HDMI.
Whatever you're trying to imagine, just think of it as 10 times harder than whatever that is, right? Yeah. So it's actually really difficult. Just such a bitch to put the HDMI cord in. It's so easy to rip out though, fucking oath. So I just rip it out and then I'll go give it to my dad or I'll go put it in a really inconvenient place that I know if I want to go play Xbox, first I'm going to go have to get it from that inconvenient place and then I'm going to have to really inconveniently try and put it back in by myself, which it's just like, then that literally cuts it out, my distraction, which most of the time is Xbox because I obviously work in the same room as my Xbox.
Yeah.
And that's how I can kind of cut it out. Like either I go actually do the thing I'm distracted by, if it is getting distracted is what actually is happening, or I'll just completely try and cut it out, cutting out the distractions. But if I'm feeling like shit and I can't focus, I'll just still do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. What about you, Liam?
I think like all of us, we definitely have our days and like when we're traveling, I feel like that's when I can just turn on the camera. I can speak in front of you guys. I can speak by myself in public and I'm just flowing, like doesn't matter, like I'm not thinking about what I'm saying or anything. But I feel like when I'm by myself at home and I've been by myself for a couple of days, I'm like, I'll turn on the camera and I'll still be fine, but it gets to that point. It's like the negative loop of hell,
feedback loop from hell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Subtle art of which not is giving a fuck.
Pretty much when like I'll go press record, I'm like, hey guys, so today, and then I'll literally stop there because my brain will like malfunction. I'm like, wait, what am I speaking about? And then you start thinking like, okay, what am I going to talk about? What do I want to say? And then that's when you like just, you keep stuffing up and you're like trying to make it perfect. But that doesn't happen a lot. It used to happen a lot more when I started, but now I've gotten simply just by doing over the past 2 years of YouTube, I've gotten a lot better at just turning the camera on, recording, and then whatever you record. Because this is what happens to me. I'll record like my intro for my video and then I'll be like, damn, I really wanted to explain this a bit better. Like, oh, I could have said, it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like whatever you record, like that, you should just use that because people don't care that much about your YouTube videos.
No, not at all.
To be like, oh, he didn't explain the fact that the umbrella was going to be yellow.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's something that I am trying to get better at.
Just letting go of that.
Letting go of the fact that
it's not going to be perfect.
Well, it's not going to, there's no such thing as like it being the perfect intro or the perfect anything. No. So just, what I do in those circumstances is though, like when I'm like overthinking it, I just like take a step back. I'm like, okay, what am I actually doing today? And I just go into it. Whatever I say, and I stop recording. I get on with my day or my vlog.
Yeah. That's a great way to go about it.
What do you do?
Well, when I haven't spoken on camera for a while.
Yeah, like how do you feel talking to the camera nowadays?
I am super comfortable talking on camera, but just like anything, if you haven't practiced it in a while, you're going to suck at it compared to what you were.
Yeah.
And two, like you're going to probably feel a lot more anxious because you're not used to it. It's, again, with like the 7 habits, it's, like you have your values, but then you exercise those values through practices. And what it made me realize is like, cause I used to overthink this shit a lot. I used to think that if I thought about something, if I came up with some sort of idea or perspective in my head, then I would never feel like awkward or anything in front of a camera ever again.
Like what's an example of that?
like say for example, like I would get like say I'm talking like on camera, I'm getting all anxious and I'm not saying what I want to say. I'm not like in the flow with it. I'm overthinking while I'm talking. Yeah. So while I'm thinking, that's when I'm stuttering because I'm thinking rather than actually speaking from my heart and just getting into the flow. What was it? What was I talking about?
The thing that you tell yourself to make yourself better on camera.
Yeah. So if that's happened to me, usually I would get like frustrated and I'll be like, dude, like what's the go? Like I'm not being like all concise. I don't know. And that idea in itself, being concise and like being like thorough, entertaining. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thorough,
yeah.
Simple, entertaining, great personality. Like that's, dude, like your desire for all of that stuff all of that shit brings you back down.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That literally, that stuff is what hinders everyone from like keeping, like from reaching their actual potential. Anyway, yeah. So what yourself. I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And like this happens to me all the time. Like even like I've done YouTube for nearly, it's coming on to 3 years in a couple months and I'm still dealing with this shit. But the reason is it actually comes down to schedule. Like it comes down to routine. That's the only reason. Like that's the whole reason why I do one live stream every single day is because my values of acceptance, vulnerability, and courage, all those three values are really worked when I'm doing a live stream because I'm working my courage muscle because I'm doing something in spite of fear.
Yeah.
So that's courage.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And acceptance is because you're on a live stream. You don't have time to be like, oh, why am I talking like this? You're literally live. Like you can't say that to yourself. It's just so quick.
Yeah.
So it's so good for your acceptance. And the third thing would be vulnerability because you're putting yourself out there. And the more that you can put yourself out there like that, you strengthen those practices and values.
Yeah.
So if I could say anything, if anyone wants to get good at anything, you just practice. Yeah. And like, it's so simple. But dude, like, I forgot that or something.
No, repetition sharpens blades.
Yeah. Yeah.
As Jordan Astra says.
Really?
In his song. Yeah. That's how he opens. Repetition sharpens blades.
Yeah.
That's mad.
It's true though. Like and that's why when we're traveling, like it seems like we're always in the flow. We can just talk on camera, like whatever. It's because we're doing it every day.
Literally.
That's a huge goal. Like I hate talking about my goals sometimes, but obviously I need to talk to you boys about
dude,
this.
Dude, fuck goals. Goals are bullshit. Yeah, anyway, keep going.
So my goals, fuck your goals. Yeah. Fuck goals. Yeah.
Nah, everything's subjective.
No, nah, I'm joking.
Fuck perfectionism. Yeah. 7 habits.
No, I'm joking. No, keep going. Yeah.
Nah, but
sorry, I'm a piece of shit.
Honestly, because I remember Hayden's, like when we were in LA a few months ago, you were like, boys, should we just fucking move here and just try it for 3 months? And like that nervous feeling that I got, when I heard that, I was like, fuck, that's a lot to give up here just to go over there and do it. And I was like, you know what? Every time I get this nervous feeling, where even when we bought Earl Davis, I was like, is this actually a good idea? Should we fucking do this?
I was like, probably not, but
we'll do it anyway.
It was great. And it worked out. Content. And then after we did the video, it worked out. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. Like it was like, buying that car and being nervous at the start or thinking about America and trying to move there. Like once you do it and once it's over, then you realize you get over that hurdle and you're like, that was actually really, I'm glad I did that. I learned so much from doing that. Even if it didn't work out. If Earl Davis, like it broke down the fucking hour that we bought it, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Because that just would have we would have learned so much from that. You know what I mean? Dude, but it didn't.
Think about like all of the things that you do in your life and how many times you say to yourself, man, I regret doing that.
Yeah, I've done it a lot. All of this year, I don't regret anything from this year.
Yeah.
Like everything that I've thought of doing or saying, I've pretty much done.
Dude, you regret the things that you don't do.
Yeah, of course.
Literally.
Like, that's how regret works.
Yeah, I know. But some people like think that like, oh, if I do this and it doesn't turn out the way that I want it to turn out, then I'm going to regret it if I do it and I like get hurt.
Dude, yeah, think about when people, that's a good point. Think about when people say the word regret. They usually say it like this. Oh, I regret not doing this. I regret not, it's always, I regret not.
Not, yeah.
It's the things you don't do that you regret.
Yeah.
You're not going to go do something because you want to try something new and go like, I regret trying something new.
Yeah. No, I regret doing that workout and getting a pump on.
But sometimes it's not as easy as just saying, okay, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Like how my mindset is now with regretting, like, not doing something is that if it works out, that's great. I'm glad I did it. If it doesn't work out, my brain just tells me, you know what, like, if it's a 50-50 shot and I'm like, if it works out, that's great and I'm glad I did it. But if it doesn't, well, that'd be a good story anyway. Tell the boys.
Yeah, it's a good story.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always going to be a good story.
Way. Like, it's a win-win situation.
That's why I get good stories out of it, or I get an even better story out of it because it's something I got nervous by and I did it and I came through. But anyway, the goal that I wanted to talk about was that if we all got into one place, like actually live together next year.
Like a team four.
Team 10. Team 10. Minus 6. Team 4.
Yeah.
Anyway. Quattro.
Yeah.
Quattro.
Quattro heads.
Quattro.
I think it would be really cool. I know that, like, traveling with you guys, as you said, like, we have our problems every now and then. We get on each other's nerves, but...
Oh, dude, if we've made it this far.
The thing is, this year, like, I feel like I've grown... I feel like we've all grown so much the more that we travel with each other and the more... Well, the more we travel with each other, the more we learn, and the more that we learn as it is, like whether it be about life or whatever, we get better at like handling like different difficult situations with other people, including ourselves. So I feel like we will only get better if we are together as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think we all have the same mentality. Instead of like letting things bottle up or sweeping stuff under the rug, we just talk about it openly, and then we all understand though, which is great.
Yeah, which is being vulnerable, because you're subjecting yourself to like all the, you know,
other opinions,
the critiques of everyone.
Dude, you know? This is interesting actually. When we were in Singapore, Singapore was actually a really good trip. Like, I had no problems in Singapore with you guys. There was just this one time. You guys know which one I'm going to talk about.
I'm sorry.
No. I know you guys are sorry. But like, it's just whatever. But anyway, so we
I was there.
I was just vlogging. Lamont wasn't there, by the way. I was just vlogging. I was just like, what did I say? I said something like, "What do you guys? What's the worst thing that you guys think about me?" Or something. You said like that.
What's it like traveling with me?
What's it like traveling with me?
And then I was like, do you want me to say?
Pretend to be you.
Yeah. So you were like,
you play you.
Yeah.
All right. I'll play me. Ready?
I'll play the taxi driver.
Yeah.
Because it's in the taxi, by the way. Set the scene.
Yeah.
I flew taxi in Singapore now.
All right. So I'm like, all right, boys. So what's it like traveling with me?
And then I looked at Mike and I was like, well, we have to parent you a lot, like we're your parents and everything. And that's, and it's because like
triggered.
Yeah. Which is like, only because, you know, it's not like you left your bag at the airport, which is like something that everyone can do. And I, you know, Mike did it.
I did it twice. It's not,
yeah.
But I said it as a joke, but it affected you, which is fine.
Yeah. And the thing is, I like played along with it because I was like vlogging and stuff. And like when I'm vlogging, I try my best to be authentic, but it actually didn't hit me like until like after I stopped recording. I was like, that's when I started thinking about it. I'm just like far out because like over the time, like as we've been traveling and stuff, like there's been jokes about this stuff, like talking about like, oh, like your dad buys you this and all this, like just jokes. Yeah. I've got, it's not even just you guys. Like some of my friends in Warrigal joke about that stuff as well. Yeah. Whether it come from jealousy or whatever, I don't know. Anyway. So throughout that day, I was being very reactive. I was not being proactive. I was reacting to my environment and what you guys had said when I could have easily been like, you know what? Like, it's just a bit of banter. I'm not going to let that affect me. But the reality is I didn't have that knowledge back then.
Okay, yeah.
But it did affect me. And like, I knew that if I didn't bring it up with you boys, I would regret it in myself because then it would just be something that's just like put under the carpet. And it like, even like bringing that up with you boys, I was like, that was hard for me. Like I don't really like conflict, but what I've realized is honest conflict is so much better than dishonest harmony.
Oh, like
100%.
Then it's over. You know, I like a little bit off topic, but on the same topic, like my dad, he's been trying to figure out like what the best snack is to bring into his workplace. It's his turn to bring some snacks into his workplace. Really cute, right? They bring in snacks every Wednesday or whatever, and someone's goes. My dad's go, right? Horrible. And he's been working on this.
Gave us a little trial. It was like prosciutto.
So he had prosciutto or ham and salami on like a breadstick wrapped around, right?
Oh, wait, oh, hold on. So I just want to check to see if the camera's.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, this is a good story. Make sure you get this.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So like my dad's been trying to like make snacks or whatever for his workplace. It's his turn to bring in some snacks or whatever. And today he's like still trying to crack the code for like 7 days now, like a full on week. He's been like pairing different salamis and prosciuttos and stuff. And he really wants to make a good impression. I'm like, first of all, Dad, it's fucking prosciutto. It doesn't matter. People get over it. But he's like giving me like four different ones, like two different types of salami, prosciutto and ham. And he goes, yeah, what do you think of this one? And I'm like, yeah, this ham one's probably my least favorite. And I knew it affected him, but I had to do it to him because if I didn't say which one I actually didn't like, then he wouldn't know. And it'd be worse of me to say, yeah, I like all four of them, bring all four or whatever. And obviously it comes down to people's taste buds and stuff, but I personally just didn't like the fourth one that he gave me.
Yeah.
And so it's like just being honest with him and he, you know, reacted. He was like, oh, you know, like, okay, that hurt.
Did he actually say that?
No, but I could see it. I could hear it. Yeah. I know my dad. I could hear it in his voice that it hurt him.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And he was like, oh, well, I probably like that one. But so no, I get it. Like it's better. It's instead of me just being fake about it and going, oh my God, Dad, they're all amazing. Yes, bring them all. And then, you know, people hate that one that I said that I should have said something about.
Yeah.
Then it's exactly the same situation as you were saying.
Yeah. The thing is, and you can't, because you can't trust people like that.
No, and I think because you were honest and you actually brought it up with us, that is like being proactive.
Yeah.
Because you were like, instead of just sitting in your room going, fuck Liam, fuck Mike.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I wouldn't do that. No, either. No, just I'm be just like saying. Me feeling shit.
Yeah. But instead of feeling shit, you're like, I'm going to do something about this.
Yeah.
Because then it helps you get over it.
You could choose, you had that choice and that's the best choice you could have done.
And I wasn't doing it out of like commanding respect or anything.
No.
It was more like self-respect for myself.
Dude, like, it's good to bring things up if they affect you.
Yeah.
Like you can't always just choose to like not let things affect you because sometimes they just do.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. The idea of being proactive states that like you get to choose, but sometimes you just forget.
Because we're human.
We're human.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's a practice. You got to be, and another value of mine is being kind to yourself and others. And being kind to yourself means like talking to yourself as if you would talk to your best friend about like a problem that they're having or whatever. Like if you're overthinking something, don't be like, oh, why am I freaking overthinking? Be like, okay, like it's fine. Like I'm human. Be gentle with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Just goes back to that simple saying, like treat others how you would like to be treated.
Yeah. And treat yourself how you like to treat others. Today was like we went from like
business
stuff more to like mental health, which is good. Like we do get sidetracked, but then again, at the same time, we are human. It's our second bloody podcast.
That's what we've been thinking about though. Like we've all been thinking about this kind of stuff. So that's what's going to come out.
Fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, and we're getting better at it.
I'm accepting that the first 50 podcasts are going to be gonna shit. Suck,
and they're going to be boring.
That is good.
But I feel like it's still fun. Like I love like just...
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all a learning process. That's all it is. Been good.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Lamont.
So, thank you once again for listening to this podcast, Between the Frames podcast. We're on a whole bunch of different platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Alexa, Google Podcasts. We do have an email address at betweentheframespodcast@gmail.com, and you can submit some questions there that you'll like to ask, and we can read them out towards the end and give our suggestions and advice. So, thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you around next time.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.